The Baudelaires looked at one another, squinting in the dim light, and without another word Violet and Klaus climbed out of the trunk and then lifted their sister out into the night. The famous hinterland sunset was just ending, and everything the children saw was bathed in dark blue, as if Count Olaf had driven them into the depths of the ocean. There was a large wooden sign with the words Caligari Carnival printed in old-fashioned script, along with a faded painting of a lion chasing a frightened little boy. Behind the sign was a small booth advertising tickets for sale, and a phone booth that gleamed in the blue light. Behind these two booths was an enormous roller coaster, a phrase which here means a series of small carts where people can sit and race up and down steep and frightening hills of tracks for no discernible reason. But it was clear, even in the fading light, that the roller coaster had not been used for quite some time, because the tracks and carts were overgrown with ivy and other winding plants, which made the carnival attraction look as if it were about to sink into the earth. Past the roller coaster was a row of enormous tents, shivering in the evening breeze like jellyfish. And alongside each tent was a caravan, which is a wheeled carriage, used as a home by people who travel frequently. The caravans and tents all had different designs painted on the sides, but the Baudelaires knew at once which caravan was Madame Lulu's, because it was decorated with an enormous eye. The eye matched the one tattooed on Count Olaf's left ankle, the one the Baudelaires had seen many times in their lives, and it made them shiver to think they could not escape it even in the hinterlands. "Now that we're out of the trunk," Klaus said, "let's get out of the area. Olaf and his troop could get back any minute." "But where are we going to go?" Violet asked. "We're in the hinterlands. Olaf's comrade said there was no place to hide." "Well, we'll have to find one," Klaus said. "It can't be safe to hang around any place where Count Olaf is welcome."
"Aye,"
Sunny agreed, pointing to Madame Lulu's caravan. "But we can't go wandering around the countryside again," Violet said. "The last time we did that, we ended up in even more trouble." "Maybe we could call the police from that phone booth," Klaus said.
"Dragnet,"
Sunny said, which meant, "But the police think we're murderers."
"I suppose we could try to reach Mr. Poe," Violet said. "He didn't answer the telegram we sent him asking for help, but maybe we'll have better luck on the phone."
The three siblings looked at one another without much hope. Mr. Poe was the vice president of orphan affairs at Mulctuary Money Management, a large bank in the city, and part of his job was overseeing the Baudelaire's affairs after the fire. Mr. Poe was not a wicked person, but he had mistakenly placed them in the company of so much wickedness that he had been almost as wicked as an actual wicked person, and the children were not particularly eager to contact him again, even if it was all they could think of.
"It's probably a slim chance that he'll be of any help," Violet admitted. "But what have we got to lose?"
"Let's not think about that," Klaus replied, and walked over to the phone booth. "Maybe Mr. Poe will at least allow us to explain ourselves."
"Fairies,"
Sunny said, which meant something like, "We'll need money to make a phone call."
"I don't have any," Klaus said, reaching into his pockets. "Do you have any money, Violet?"
Violet shook her head.
"Let's call the operator and see if there's some way we can place a call without paying for it."
Klaus nodded and opened the door of the booth so he and his sisters could crowd inside. Violet lifted the receiver and dialed O for operator, while Klaus lifted up Sunny so all three siblings could hear the conversation.
"Operator,"
said the operator.
"Good evening," Violet said. "My siblings and I would like to place a call."
"Please deposit the proper amount of money,"
the operator said.
"We don't have the proper amount of money," Violet said. "We don't have any money at all, but this is an emergency."